Let's ask the Lord's blessing on our time, and then we'll go ahead and get started for the night. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for the gathering that you've brought us all together here that we might look into your word. And I just pray, Father, that tonight you would guide us by your spirit. You would give us hearts and eyes to see your truth, and that truth would have a change in our hearts, and help us, Lord, to see how you see things. That's our goal, is to understand you and to have your perspective on life and on beauty and things like that. So we ask that you bless our time, please, Father. Guide my lips, and just, Father, draw us close to you and to your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, good evening. It's good to see you all tonight. And in our fifth lesson on the godly woman, tonight we're going to be diving into beauty. We'll be looking at three main texts this evening. They're on your outline: 1 Peter 3 verses 3 through 4, 1 Timothy 2 verses 9 and 10, and Proverbs 31 verses 25 and 26, and verse 30. And those are all on your outline, so you don't have to jump back and forth in your Bible if you don't want to. And of course, Daryl will be throwing those up on the screen as well. Beauty is a subject that tends to grab our attention. It's something that everybody's interested in to one degree or another, from art to architecture to nature's landscapes to a child's smile. Things that are beautiful draw us in. And when it comes to women and beauty, the culture seems to scream at us in various ways through print and media, inundating us with what the world says makes women beautiful. Perfect hair, flawless skin, specific body types, jewelry, adornments like that, trendy clothes and such. The pressure is everywhere, resulting in most women spending a great deal of time and money in their lives chasing an unattainable standard or image. But God's word turns all that upside down. He tells us very clearly what he thinks is true beauty. And that's our focus this evening: a woman adorned with God's beauty. So last week we walked through God's design for women in submission, a subject that we talked about how it's often misunderstood. Submission is not inferiority, but it is trust and order modeled by Christ's humility and lived out to honor him. It isn't about blind obedience or silence. It's about willingly honoring the leadership of the husband unto the Lord as a picture of Christ's relationship with his church. And the godly beauty that we're going to discuss tonight is, or rather the subject of beauty, is often misunderstood as well, as we know. Godly beauty is about the heart. It's an attitude of humility and self-control and respect for God and for others. It's about embracing strength under submission and modesty that honors him. So tonight we're building on this foundation of everything we've studied thus far and unveiling the inner beauty that flows from a life submitted to God. So we begin in our first point with God's definition of beauty. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. What God defines as beauty, we're going to unpack this step by step. And we're also going to look at 1 Timothy 2:9 and see what God says. So we begin with the first point, beyond the external. Peter says here in verses 3 and 4 of 1 Peter chapter, my goodness, it's hot in here. Is it not hot in here? Are you going to take care of that? Thank you, Karen. That would be lovely. I don't want to be selfish and say, let's turn the air down just for me, but I see, well, at least my wife is fanning. Whew. It's distractingly warm in here. That's okay. I'm so sorry. Okay, so let's get back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. He writes, "Your adornment must not be," he's of course speaking to women, "your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry and putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." So let's begin by clarifying something. Peter is not condemning nice clothes or jewelry or hairstyles. You don't have to toss out your earrings or burn your dresses. In fact, Proverbs 31, verse 22 describes the godly woman as one who wears fine linen and purple, which in that culture symbolized dignity and care for your appearance. God is not against outward beauty. He created beauty, did he not? Yes, and he delights in it. But what he warns against is vanity, when outward appearances become the foundation of our identity or worth. So what exactly is Peter saying here? Well, the key phrase is not merely external, meaning that beauty must not be defined by outward appearance alone. Again, he's not forbidding those things, but warning against making them your focus. The word translated here, adornment, in this passage is cosmos. It refers to an orderly arrangement of things. We actually get our word cosmetics from this word, things used to orderly arrange a woman's face, interestingly enough. But what is Peter's point? Well, don't let your focus stop at arranging the outside while neglecting the inside. That's what he's saying. True beauty doesn't stop at the surface. Rather, it begins in the heart. In Peter's time, women displayed their wealth and status through ornate braids that were intertwined with gold and expensive jewels, and then they would wear, fine linen garments and robes, things like that. It wasn't just about looking presentable. It was about prestige and flaunting your wealth, an outward display of your social standing, and much like it is today with designer brands and social media filters on Instagram and things like that. But here's the good news. God does not measure beauty the way the world does. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Paul echoes this sentiment here. He says, "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness." And so Peter and Paul are really making the same point here. They're not forbidding looking nice, but warning against vanity and misplaced priorities. A woman's beauty is not the cost of her clothing or the style of her hair or the accessories that she wears. It is her character, her faith, and her good works. Outward beauty fades, but godly beauty lasts. Peter calls it imperishable here. Imperishable. It cannot be lost or diminished with age or fickle trends that tend to change. It is precious in the sight of God, far more valuable than the fleeting beauty that the world offers. And the warning here is clear. Don't let your beauty be defined by external things alone. Don't find your identity in that. Instead, look to where true beauty comes from. And where is that? Well, in our second point, it's the hidden person of the heart. He says, let it be in the hidden person of the heart. And here's the heart of it, literally. It is the hidden person. Kryptos is the Greek word. That's your inner self, who you really are when the makeup's off and the lights are off. Peter says, adorn that. And how? He says, with gentle and quiet spirit. Now, gentle here is not weakness. Gentleness is meekness, which is strength under control, like Jesus. We talked about this last time in Philippians 2, specifically verse 8, who was submissive to the worldly governments of man who were doing evil things to him. He was humbly obedient to the Father's plan, even unto death. Jesus was meek, and that wasn't weakness. That was actually strength under control. Gentleness isn't weakness. It's power that is restrained by wisdom and humility. And quiet doesn't mean silence either. It's talking about your spirit, your soul. A quiet spirit is tranquil. It is at peace. That's the idea here. It's a heart trusting God a heart that's not anxious or wrestling. And these two qualities, he says, are imperishable. In other words, time cannot touch them. Your hair grows gray, your skin wrinkles, your clothes wear out and fashions change, but this kind of beauty, God says, endures. It lasts forever. And Paul adds back in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, he says, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. This good works, this kindness and service to others, it flows from that gentle, meek, quiet, tranquil spirit. And that's where true beauty lies. It's not about earning God's favor either. It's about showing the grace that he has poured out in you and showing that to the world. This is God's measure. It's not a flashy shell, but a soul that reflects his character. And he says in our next point that it is precious in the sight of God. That gentle, quiet spirit, he says, is priceless to him. Maybe not to the world. The world does not value such a thing. And you're not going to find people on Instagram or movies in Hollywood anymore that try to promote and teach you how to be gentle and quiet in your spirit, because they don't value that. But the one who made you finds that to be precious. And when you think of precious, you think of rare, and you think of valuable, unique, something that you want to hold close forever. The world chases empty treasures, gold and pearls and costly things, but God says, I value what lasts. And what is that? His glory. Paul's expression, proper for godliness, in 1 Timothy 2 fits here. Good works from a godly heart are what he sees, not the external things that are fleeting. And so think about it. What the world says is beautiful changes over time. Beauty standards, my wife and I were talking about those women in China who would bind their feet. That was a sign of beauty many, many centuries ago. I don't know how long ago that was. Those things change over time, but God's beauty endures because it is his beauty. It is a reflection of him. He doesn't scan your wardrobe or look at your mirror. He searches your heart, and that's what makes you stunning to him. A spirit that is gentle like his son, quiet in his peace, and adorned with his grace. And that's his definition, and it is precious to him, he says. Now, if that's God's beauty and he delights in it, it's eternal and precious, why do so many often get tangled up in that which fades? Well, turn to Proverbs chapter 31, and we'll see here, and we'll come back to Peter before we're done. We see the trap that we can stumble into when we chase the externals instead of resting in God's inside-out design. He says here, in the danger of outward focus, Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. This is a warning and a promise all rolled into one. God's word is shining a light on this trap so that we don't fall into it. And so let's walk through this in three points. First, vanity's trap. He says charm is deceitful. What is charm? Charm is that sparkle, that allure, that outward dazzle that we're sold on every day. It's what the world promises you, that you'll feel worthy if your hair is shiny, your skin is flawless, and your outfit is name brand. But it's all a lie. It is deceitful, Proverbs says. It's a hook with a shiny bait that leaves you empty. And we've all seen this in action, haven't we? Women who spend their entire lives chasing the world's standard of beauty and value. They go through extraordinary measures to maintain or to achieve the charm that the world presents, destroying any natural beauty that they ever had, because they do all sorts of plastic surgery and things like that, and they end up, I was going to say, like a clown, looking like the Joker. Sadly, that's so very true. Absolutely. The world's charm says your external beauty is your value, but it is a mirage, and it can't deliver any lasting worth. It is a trap that snares your heart. 1 Peter 3:3 hinted at this warning when he said that your adornment must be only or merely external, must not be merely external. Because God knows that the worldly charm of this allure of beauty is a trickster, that it leads you into a trap, he warns you. Now, if charm is deceitful, what about beauty itself? Well, that's our next point here, fading beauty. Lemuel adds, he's the author of chapter 31, he adds, beauty is vain. Vain means empty or fleeting, worthless. Like a breath, it's in an instant, it's gone. No matter how much you fight against it, time is going to march on. Hair grays, wrinkles creep in, trends pass, like we've already said. Today's hot is tomorrow's not, right? Think again of all those women on the cover of all those magazines. I don't know, are there still magazines out there anymore? I think there are. Or the endless, seemingly endless stream of past celebrities who were idolized for their beauty. Where are they now? They're gone in a season. Culture's beauty is a ticking clock, and it doesn't last. Those women fight time and aging with all sorts of procedures and products, but time always wins, as Isaiah 48 tells us, that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever, or stands forever. Just as those beautiful flowers that adorn your table are gone next week, so too is our physical beauty. Chasing it is like clutching sand or grasping after wind. It leaves you empty, slipping away. God tells you not to hold on to that which fades. He's got something far better, something lasting and truly beauty, and that's God's perspective, our third point here. And Proverbs 30:30 ends by saying, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's God's perspective. And it really is a game changer. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, he spells it out for us when he says, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And Samuel, of course, is in the context of David, choosing David. When God chose David, he skipped over the tall, dark, and handsome older brothers, and he chose the small, skinny, young shepherd kid, didn't he? Why? Well, because in God's kingdom, its heart overlooks. Jesus points to this in Matthew 23:27, calling out the Pharisees, calling them whitewashed tombs. They're shiny on the outside, but dead and worthless on the inside. So again, let me stress, ladies, there's nothing wrong with looking beautiful. In fact, Scripture praises several women for being beautiful. I think of Sarah and Esther and the Shulamite bride in Song of Solomon. Those women were all very beautiful and praised for it. It's good to work at being lovely for your husband. The Bible doesn't want us all walking around in potato sacks and with unkept hair. That's not the point. God made beauty, and he delights in it. But the key is, it starts on the inside, what kind of beauty we have. And the hidden person is where that is. And here's the best thing about this kind of beauty that's God's beauty, this inner beauty that manifests itself in every stage of life. Whether you're young or old, single or married, whether you're widowed or you're a mother or you're not, godly beauty shines through all seasons of a woman's life. And where the world tells you that youth is beauty and maturity is not, God shows us that as we mature in Christ, so too does your beauty. Because when you get right down to it, whose image is most beautiful to God? Christ's, his own, Christ's beauty. So as you grow in the image of Christ, you grow in the beauty that God says is true beauty. And think about this phrase here, the fear of the Lord. We've talked quite a bit about that recently in our Bible study hours together. It's It's reverence and fear that has been met with God's mercy and grace, resulting in a life of gratitude, a life of love and trust in Him. And that's what lasts. That's what God is praising here. The world praises the cover girl, but God praises the covered girl, the girl that is covered by Christ, covered by His grace, His righteousness, His love. So, ladies, chasing physical beauty is a dead-end road with empty promises and fading prizes, but God's way is a heart, it's a heart that shines through the external package, praised by the one whose opinion never changes. The danger of focusing on the outside is that it blinds us to God's perspective, to what actually endures. And so it's something to be cultivated deep within a woman's heart. And so let's look at that in our last, or our third point, cultivating a quiet and gentle spirit. Consider here Proverbs 31, now back in verse 25 and 26. How does a woman cultivate this gentle and quiet spirit? We've seen his beauty defined and the world's trap exposed, but how do we grow in it? So Peter points to it in 1 Peter 3, 4, but Proverbs 31, 25, and 26 paints the picture for us. He says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This isn't some lofty, unachievable dream, some theological philosophy here. This is for all women in God's kingdom. It's beauty that can actually be lived out right now in your life. Remember, God's calling is God's enabling, right? He equips us for all that he calls us to do. And so we break this down, starting with strength and gentleness. He says, strength and dignity are her clothing. And that's our starting point, cultivating gentleness as a strength. And we saw that gentle means power under control, just as Jesus showed us in his life. So how do we grow in that? Well, this Proverbs woman gives us a clue here. She wears strength like a robe, standing tall with honor. And dignity here isn't stiffness, it's quiet confidence, a beauty that holds steady. So what's he saying? That she's not tossed about by every wind. She's anchored in God's might, steady under pressure. Think of a time in your life when you've faced a severe trial. The world tells you to push back, to prove yourself by being loud. But God says, be gentle. Wrap yourself in my strength. It's okay to bend, but don't break, because he's with you. This gentleness in action, this not shrinking back, but shining through the pressure, it's because your strength is rooted in Christ. So ladies, you don't have to shout or have muscles to be strong. His gentle power in you helps you to stand firm. That's how you cultivate it, by leaning on Christ and relying on him to adorn you every day. And so what I'm saying is that this gentleness comes from faith in him, really. That's the real strength. And the quiet part goes right along with it, this peace and quietness. He says here at the end of this verse that she smiles at the future. I think that's a beautiful image, that she smiles at the future. That is peace, is it not? This is Peter's quiet spirit in action. She's not fretting tomorrow. She's resting in God's hands, in his sovereignty. And you know, this isn't a natural attitude for really any of us. It's a supernatural attitude. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We know that life is filled with all sorts of storms. There's issues with money and relationships and health and whatever, right? But God is saying, don't wring your hands. Instead, lift them up in prayer. And that's the godly woman's secret. It's It's this, she's got a peace that guards her heart, that fixes her mind on Christ and fills her with the peace of knowing that he's in charge. So, ladies, swap panic over the future with prayer. The quiet spirit isn't hiding from life. It's facing it with a smile because Christ holds the future. That's the kind of beauty that shines the brightest when the storms of life hit. So how do you adorn yourself with what God says is beauty? How do you grow in a gentle and quiet spirit? Well, it's simply all about placing every step of your day in his hands and trusting him to work it all out. And when it gets tough, bringing that to him in prayer, expressing your need for him to lead you and to strengthen you and to work in you. And this all has a very profound impact, not only on you, but those around you. Our last point in this section, the impact through godliness. In verse 26, he writes, "She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." This is the fruit of it all. It is a life of impact. A woman's gentle, quiet spirit isn't locked away. It blesses others. Wisdom means she speaks truth shaped by God's word. Kindness is her words lift up and don't tear down. And so think about the impact that has on your home, on your kids, on your spouse, on your friends. When you live in peace and strength that comes through trusting in Christ, this gentle strength steadies not only you, but those around you. And your wise kindness builds others up. So it's not just for you. This is God's beauty in you spilling out through you. Colossians 3:12 encourages us to put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness. Ladies, this is the wardrobe that God wants you to adorn yourself with. Christ's character shining through you. And as you trust him daily, your family feels it, your church sees it, and even strangers in this world notice it. And that is cultivating a gentle, quiet spirit, not for show, but because he's in you working outward. So let's wrap up with some practical steps on how to adorn God's beauty here. We've seen his definition. It's a gentle, quiet spirit. We've seen the danger of an outward focus, a vain and fleeting trap, and how to cultivate this kind of strength and peace and impact through faith, through growing in Christ and reflecting him. But how do you live this out daily, practically? Let's make this real for us. Of course, all of this begins with knowing him. You can't do any of this unless you know him, but I'm assuming everyone here knows the Lord. So I know you have 4 points on there. That wasn't number one. So you'll have to squeeze in number one. I didn't think about that till just now. Maybe I should have put five. It begins with knowing the Lord. Then we seek Christ daily. Seek Christ daily. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Set your mind on the things above, he concludes those verses. So start each day in prayer and in his word. Begin with a quick, Lord, shape me. Yield to his word and his instruction. This is fuel for your heart. Seeking Christ keeps you fixed on that which is eternal, not external. Number two is guard your heart. Guard your heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, he says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." Ladies, what most influences you? Is it the internet, television and movies, or music, or gossip, or the culture around you? Carefully filter all of that. Swap it out for that which is true and honorable and pure and lovely in God's eyes. Guarding your heart keeps it gentle and protects it from growing cold and bitter. Number three is reflect his grace. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wear these in everything that you do. Be patient with your children and your husband, kind with others. practicing these things even as the day encroaches on you and you don't even feel like it. It isn't, you know, when you're practicing these things and you don't feel like practicing these things, that's not being fake. That's allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you, reflecting His grace, makes your spirit quiet and makes that shine in you. And the last one is serve with love. Serve with love. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. Use what God has given you. Encourage a friend. Show compassion to someone hurting. Help at church. Do all the things that God calls you to do as a wife, as a woman. It's that simple. It's not grand gestures that matter, but it's the quiet love that echoes God's character that matters. Serving others turns your beauty outward, turns your inner beauty outward, blessing others with His goodness. And so these steps to seek and guard and reflect and serve aren't a checklist. They're actually resting in Christ, letting Him adorn you daily. And so we conclude with, God's beauty beats the world's mirage. It's a gentle, quiet spirit, precious in His sight. Chasing outward charm traps us in vanity, but God focuses on the heart. We cultivate His strength and peace within us and have the most impact in our lives when we are seeking Christ in all things. We're guarding our heart, we're reflecting His grace, and we're serving in love. And Proverbs 31:30 sums it up. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's the godly woman who is radiant with our Lord's character. It's not something you strive for, actually. It's something that God produces in you. And so as you go from here, walk confidently, knowing that what makes you beautiful is not your mirror's reflection, but rather the reflection of Christ in you. So let that beauty shine. So let's close in prayer, and we'll move on. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for correcting us. So many times we live in this world and we get mired with and confused by all the things that bombard us daily, and beauty is certainly one of those things. Not just for women, but for men as well. But Lord, your word cuts through all of that and shows us your perspective, and that what we really are striving for is to please you and to be in your will in all things. And the perfect image of that is the perfect image of your Son, who is gentle. He had a quiet, tranquil spirit. He was truly beautiful in your eyes. He is truly beautiful in your eyes. So help these ladies and those listening online, Father, to develop and cultivate that beauty through walking with you, through faith, through yielding and submission to your word and your roles for them. And help all of us, Father, to know and love you more, to walk as Christ walked, and to let our beauty shine, the beauty that is God's beauty. We thank you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.